Welcome again to our Sunday school portion of the Grace Baptist Ministry. This Bible study goes along with the pastor's sermons, and I pray that you'll be viewing both, listening to both, and that God, by His grace, by His mercy, will cause you and us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to look at a very controversial topic, highly, highly misunderstood in the so-called world of religion today, especially the Christian faith. That topic is free will. Free will. One of the chief deceptions of a darkened mind when considering truly spiritual things is that mankind has a free will. At the center of that misconception is a fatal way of thinking that all humanity on their own is guilty of. God exposes this in Psalm chapter 50, verse 21. After pointing out the sinful lives of the people God addresses in this scripture, He confronts their attitude, which is common to mankind. In Psalm 50, verse 21, God says, "These you have done," confronting the people with the sins they had committed. "These you have done, and I kept silent. You thought," now listen, this is the way it literally reads. God repeats Himself in a way. "You thought that I was altogether like you. I will rebuke you and set in order before your eyes." People see their God, folks, when they look in the mirror. They sit upon the throne of their own evil imaginations, claiming in those thoughts to be God. They may not phrase it like that, but that's exactly what they're doing in their minds. I think back on my own life, that's exactly the truth. It's the truth about me at that time. At the last day, the final judgment of mankind and fallen angels, God will set in order before their eyes that He and He alone is the blessed and only sovereign. I know your King James say potentate. You look up the word and the definition is sovereign. He alone is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of the ones being kings, and the Lord of the ones being lords. 1 Timothy 6:15. These people demand to have their concept of free will, or in other words, listen, this is free will, or in other words, self-determination. They must be able to have the freedom to determine what is right or wrong from their own particular viewpoint. Folks, that's the way all of us are to some degree. And, of course, without Christ, this is everybody. It's the way they think. In light of Proverbs 14:12, that is a dead end. Thinking that way is a dead end. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way right to a human being, but its end, the way of death. Of course, this is from the perspective of God, who condemns the way of humanity. Those who contend, and oh folks, they contend for it hard. They'll fight you to the bitter death. Those who contend for the self-determination of free will argue with those of us who believe in the sovereignty of God, as demonstrated in the following two scriptures. Listen to these for me. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The Apostle John speaks here of Christ and the children of God. However, as many as received him. Now, have you ever looked at that verse like this? As many as received him in the new birth, as revealed in the very next verse. He gave to them authority to be children of God, to the ones believing into the name of him. Now listen to verse 13. Who not of bloods, had then everything to do with your bloodline, nor of the will of flesh. Now again, I get back to this brain matter in your head. Folks, you didn't figure this thing out. It wasn't according to that. Nor of will of man. Folks, that covers all of it. But of God were born. See, once you were born in the new birth, things started happening for you. Yes, it is the sovereign act of God to birth you again from above, enabling you to believe into Christ. Now, that's the way it really happens, folks. You don't figure it out on your own. There's not this little light that you can turn up because you're just a little bit better than others as far as willing to do this and willing to do that. It was God who birthed you anew from above, enabling you to believe the gospel of Christ. Now, this view of the human will is also reflected in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. I've always liked this particular portion of the scripture. Talk about point blank. No punches pulled here. Romans 9:16. So then, not of the willing nor of the acting, but of the God showing mercy. And in the same chapter in Romans, we see those who still hold fast to their view of free will and self-determination being addressed by the Apostle Paul. After he said what he said that I just read from Romans 9:16 and Romans 9:19, we see this. You will say to me then, why then does he, God, find fault? Still find fault. For who is resisting the purpose of him? But rather, O human being, who are you? Who are you answering against the God? The definite article is there. Will not the thing formed say to the one having formed, God, why have you made me like this? In other words, they would ask in defiance toward God. That's the flavor here. Have you really made me without a free will, which enables me to self determination? Now let's see what the Old Testament Proverbs have to say about that. Now again, I've been reading these verses and continue to do so, Old and New Testament from literal translations. Proverbs 16:1. Now this is very different than your King James Version. But if you go online, punch in Proverbs 16:1, Hebrew interlinear. Follow those. Now again, the Hebrew you read from right to left can be a little difficult, but with the interlinear, they're going to have the English there for you. Do that sometime. I do it all the time, continually. Proverbs 16:1. The plans of the heart, the plans of the heart to mankind. That's his side. But the answer of the tongue from Jehovah. And may I insert here from Jehovah Jesus. But the answer of the tongue from Jehovah Jesus. In other words, mankind devises plans in the heart. And remember what we talked about as far as the heart and the mind are interchangeable. Mankind devises plans in the heart, in the mind, but the Lord Jesus has the last word. Ever viewed that verse like that? That's literally what it's saying. And I'm going to show you a text that proves that interpretation. Right? In the same Proverbs. The Bible is its own best commentary. Proverbs 19, verse 21. There are many plans in a heart or mind of humanity, but nevertheless, the counsel of Jehovah, the counsel of Jehovah Jesus, that will stand. Again, back to 16:1. Mankind devises the plans in the heart and the mind, but the Lord Jesus has the last word. His counsel will stand. Lastly, from the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 9. A heart of humanity plans a way, but Jehovah Jesus directs the steps. You can plan all you want, folks, but the Lord God Himself is going to be directing the steps. You will only go as far as the Lord Jesus will allow. Now that's a sovereign God, and that's who He is. So much for free will and self-determination. Of course, those who continue to cling to their deception that they must have, we must have, a free will, and only an unfair God would not let them exercise such. These folks point to the free will offerings of the Old Testament. If you listen to anything, please listen to this. Please understand what is being said when it refers to free will offerings. The words free will offering or offerings appear 16 times in the King James Version. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 13, we see these words in the King James Version. Minded of their own free will. That's the King James translation of one Hebrew word. Minded of their own free will. Note, free will offerings is the most frequent translation of that word in your King James Version. Now, to misunderstand the true meaning of this word, this one Hebrew word, leads people to grave error and a lot of confusion in their doctrine concerning salvation. Oh, preacher, you said doctrine concerning their salvation. We're not interested in doctrine. We want you to talk about Christ. I've had a man tell me that. And for those of you who criticize the word doctrine, what do you do with Acts chapter 13, verse 12, which speaks of the doctrine of the Lord? What do you do with that? Or how do you deal with Titus 2:10 and the, as it says, the doctrine of God? What do you do with that? And fearing that you still remain stiff-necked, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 John, verse 9, mention the doctrine of Christ 3 times. What do you do with that? The doctrine of Christ. Now let me quote. I'm no expert, but I'm going to quote from some experts. Let me quote from Strong's New Concordance concerning this Hebrew word that we've seen translated as minded of their own free will. One Hebrew word. I'm going to quote from that new concordance. First, it comes from a root word meaning impel. That stopped me right there. What does the word impel mean? We'll see. Impel from, so I looked it up. Let me stop and explain the word impel. I looked it up in a Webster's dictionary I have that's about 70 years old. Folks, you got to go back and get you an old dictionary. The dictionaries today, they've made all kinds of changes, taken out all religious references, even done it to the Websters. And Webster was a godly man, and of course was carried on by Merriam Webster. Okay, that root word here, impel, I looked it up, and you know what it means? It means to volunteer. Listen to me. It means to volunteer. And in the Hebrew, it comes from that root word, which means to impel, and they say, hence, to volunteer in Strong's Concordance. Now, that word impel, it'll go a little deeper from the dictionary. To drive or urge forward, to drive or urge forward, to excite to action. With that understanding, let's go back to Strong's again, and here's what they say. Free will offerings defined. This is in your Strong's. Free will offerings defined. That Hebrew word. To volunteer. To volunteer is the very first thing. To present spontaneously, offering willingly. Nothing mentioned about free will there, but offering willingly. A spontaneous, abundant gift. Now I'm going to add one other thing from another expert book, the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament, which is keyed to Strong's Concordance. Free will offerings. This noun, you know, a noun is a person, place, thing, or idea. That's what a noun is. A person, place, thing, or idea. That noun denotes that which is offered, listen, voluntarily. Now, folks, I didn't make this up. This is coming from all of these sources, these people that know the Hebrew language. This noun represents voluntary contributions. Furthermore, this noun represents, now listen, this is it in a nutshell. This noun represents sacrifice made out of devotion. Are you listening? Free will offerings in the Hebrew, in the context of the Word of God, this represents sacrifice made out of devotion, not out of precept, you know, the law, you got to do this, or promise. After stating that, the Old Testament word book mentions, now listen, that these offerings include peace offerings, symbolizing the reconciliation with God that follows upon the atonement. We're talking about the atonement of Christ, folks. As such, it celebrates, this is you and me, folks, it celebrates a state of favor and blessedness arising from a proper relationship with God. That's what this word has to do with. A proper relationship with God. So we see clearly, I pray we do, that these free will offerings are for the elect of God after their salvation and done in a right relationship with Christ. That's what it's talking about. This has nothing to do with the myth of free will unto self-determination. Hadn't got anything to do with that. There's only one who is free according to the counsel of his will to determine what will become of yourself. And that is Almighty God. Now, that's the truth. Hard and cold for some of you, but that's the truth. Now, before leaving this area of the message for today, remember the words from Ezra 7, 13 from the King James Version. Minded of their own free will, which is our one Hebrew word. And I'm going to give you a little bit more context of where those words sit, spoken about the people of Israel. This is what was being spoken of in Ezra 7:13. The people of Israel, in your King James, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem. I'm going to give you three other translations. Please listen closely. The New American Standard takes that one word and makes it one word. Who are willing to go to Jerusalem. The New King James Version, who volunteer, the people of Israel, who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem. A literal translation, the interlinear from the interlinear. I have one interlinear Bible at my house, and I looked up another one online. Both of the interlinears, literal translations, said, in speaking of the people of Israel, all those who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem. As the people of God, we are willing to volunteer everything we are and everything we have to the Lord. And if we tarry to do so, if we're reluctant to do so as the people of God, we have a promise to trust in that will help us along to do the right thing. Psalm 110, verse 3. Now, the New King James translates this absolutely the way it should be. And I know reading it, and I thought, oh, I don't like that. That's not good, until I started studying it. Psalm 110, verse 3, literally says this, in speaking of the people of God. Your people, you know, speaking to God, your people volunteers in the day of your power. Now the King James says, shall be willing. And I'm going to show you the problem with that. Now, you know, don't stick your fingers in your ears. Listen. Listen. Shall be willing is a verb. Shall be willing is a verb. The word in this context is a noun. It's a person, place, thing, or idea. It's not an action word. It's not a verb. And volunteers is the right word. That's a noun. Your people volunteers in the day of your power. Folks, God is powerful to cause us to volunteer in His right timing. If that weren't true, you and I'd be lost. We'd still be clinging with tight fists to our free will. Now, what I've just said is a reason, it is why God gives us the following directives from His Word. Remember I said directives? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in Jehovah Jesus, with all your heart, and on your own understanding, lean not. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him for what? Direction. As the next part of the verse explains, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And as Christ directed us to pray. In addressing God, we should pray, the will of you be done. As in heaven, also upon earth. Not your so-called free will, but God's will be done. As in heaven, right here. That's the way that it should be. All things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. These words are found. All things are done according to the counsel of God's will, not according to the false pretense of free will and self-determination. The bottom line, exposing why people insist upon the delusion, and that's what it is, the delusion of free will and self-determination is found in two verses in Luke chapter 19. They are the verses that went along with our title. Now, Luke chapter 19, if you'll recall, contains, in part, the parable of the 10 minas, money, and concerns a certain nobleman and his servants, along with the citizens of a kingdom he would receive for himself. The nobleman is the Lord God, while the citizens represent humanity imprisoned by their own sin and Satan, who is working in them also, to be disobedient. Now, if you've listened to the last three Sunday school messages, this should be clear to you. Your own sin and Satan, who jumps on that to move you right on along in your sin. Now, in this scripture, we see the attitude of those who will go to the grave clutching their breasts, clutching to their breasts the idea of free will and self-determination that they cannot let go of. Luke 19:14. But the citizens of him, this noble man, hated him, and sent a delegation after him, saying, now listen, this, because this is the way it reads, this is the literal translation, not adding any words, not taking any words out. We are not willing this one. Did you hear that? We are not willing this one to reign over us. As if they could stop God from ruling over them. We are not willing this one to rule over us. That's the frowardness of humanity, folks. In Luke 19:27, God responds to these very ones. Now listen to what God says here. Of course, it's the noble man, but it's the Lord God himself. Furthermore, the enemies of mine, those not having been willing me to reign over them. What a joke. Can you see how ludicrous that is? Bring them here, says God, and slay them before me. Look up that word, slay. You'll find that it means to kill or to slaughter. Those who must have their free will and self-determination hate God. I don't care, folks, how lovey-dovey these folks may appear in person when they grasp to this idea of free will, where they will fight you tooth and nail to the death. It's because they hate God. That's the bottom line. It's what it says. There were those who thought Judas loved Christ for a while. He proved who he was, didn't he? He hated God. He hated the Lord Jesus Christ. These free willers who are self-determined, if they are in a settled position that way. Why do I say that? Because, folks, I used to believe in free will. Thanks be to God, he was determined to show me the truth, and that I didn't choose him, but he chose me. Now that's a humbling thing, folks. That's nothing to be bragging about. That's something where you fall on your face, as I did when he first showed me the truth about that. Fell on my face under a dining room table just thanking him. What else can you do? You can argue with him about it? I just thanked him for his sovereign grace in saving me. This free will and self-determination stems from the hate of God, because they don't want his will to prevail over their own. They are not willing God. They're not willing God to rule over their will. Mankind has no such power. Mankind has no such power to speak that way toward God. There are two scenarios, folks, presented in the Holy Scriptures. Either God will give you up and leave you alone in the trap of the devil, having been captured by him unto the will of him. And the final result of that will be you being cast into the eternal lake of fire along with the devil and his angels. Now, everything I just said there comes from 2 Timothy 2:26 and Matthew 25:41. That wasn't coming off the top of my head. That's one scenario. Or the other scenario. Or God will be the one working in you. God will be the one working in you, both the one you to will and the one you to do, according to the good purpose. What is the good purpose? This is literal. The good purpose is being conformed to the image of Christ. That's God's purpose for you, to make you like his son. And as I told you here, was it last week or the week before? I can't remember. To make you an icon of Christ. That's what the word icon means, an image. We are going to be living images of Christ. Not God, but we will be without sin. We will be pure like he is, and having been made so by the grace of God. Now, what I just said about that second scenario was from Philippians 2:13 and Romans 8, verses 28 and 29. Now, which scenario fits you? Which scenario fits you? You will be found by Christ in one of those at the last day. You'll be in one of those two scenarios. Now, I close with Revelation chapter 22, towards the end of that chapter, it says this: the Spirit and the bride is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the building, but the congregation, the people. The bride and the church say, come. Now, who are they speaking to there? They're speaking to Christ. Come, King Jesus. If you read it in its context, in Revelation chapter 22, you'll see that. And the one hearing, that one say, come, come, King Jesus. Yes, that speaks of those crying out to Jesus to come. But listen to the final part of that verse, directed to the one who is thirsty and desiring the water of eternal life. I, along with them, I, as this preacher standing before you today, I say, and the one thirsting, come. And the one thirsting, come. The one desiring, take the water of life freely. Freely. God offers it freely to you. Take it. And again, as the part of as a part of Christ's bride, I say from this pulpit, come. Come. Come, King Jesus, and those of you who thirst, come. Come to Christ. Amen.